What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And we're going to be doing some 2019 resolutions this episode.
And updates. And yeah. All the things.
So many updates.
Yeah. A lot of updates.
I know. I feel like 2019 is off to a real rough and tumble start.
Yeah.
At least on my end. I don't know how everyone else is feeling.
Yeah. I think we're going to have a lot to talk about in our segments today. Yeah. So do we want to start with a quotable?
We have so many quotes. Let's just pile them on for the new year, baby.
I'm going to read mine first because I have already posted it. Kylie posted this in our Facebook group.
Oh,
you're
so
not
good.
On Facebook in our Facebook group, you're missing out. It's great. And this quote is so good that we're going to read it on here in addition to posting it. It's attributed to no one. It's a very Instagrammy quote, but it says, I feel like I'm constantly worrying about the next part of my life without realizing that I'm right in the middle of what I used to look forward to.
Dude. That just really hits home.
Man,
grass is always greener, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You got to be grateful for what you have. And that's so true. I'm doing exactly what my goal has been for the last 7 years.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then I wake up sometimes like, oh, I'm so stressed out and stuff. I'm like, what am I doing? This is what I wanted.
Yeah.
Shit.
No, it's good. It's a good reminder.
So good.
It's like getting to the top of a mountain and just like freaking out because your shoelace is broken or something, and it's like there's this cool view, like you've been thinking about this, you've been training for 6 months,
yeah,
and it's like I'm just gonna go back down, like just
but
sit
you're
down for a second.
This is a great quote, and I don't remember where I got this, but it says, if you had $86,400 and someone stole $10, would you throw $86,390 away for revenge or move on and live? Right? You would move on and live. See, you have 86,400 seconds each day. Don't let someone's negative 10 seconds ruin the remaining 86,390 of your day. Life is bigger than that, and so are you.
Ooh,
wow.
Love it.
I like that
attributed to.
I don't know. I just screenshotted it. Maybe I just got it on Instagram, but I think that's so interesting. I like how they kind of like mind fuck you in the middle. See, it's the number of seconds in a day. And then you're like, oh shit. Because that's like so easy for somebody else's like negative 10 seconds to really take up so much more of your day. Sometimes days.
Yeah.
When if you were to think about it in money, that you like wouldn't give a shit really.
Oh man, yeah, that's freaking great.
I don't know, I'm pretty petty.
Yeah. You know what, somebody as I was saying that, I was like, wait, if somebody stole $10, I'd still be like, hey, what the fuck, like that's my $10.
You think I got $86,400 by just letting people steal from me?
Yeah,
that's not how I rose to the top.
But I guess the message is, because it says if that happened, would you throw the rest of your money away for revenge? Which you wouldn't.
A lock safe box.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Be like, bitch isn't getting another $10.
Go through me first. That's a good point. You'd probably make some boundaries for the rest of your day to be like, okay, well, those 10 seconds sucked, but I'm going to make the best of the rest of this day.
Yeah. So I love that. I have a few quotes. A couple of mine, I'm finally getting around to reading the Workaholics Anonymous book, which is fantastic.
I really need to.
Highly recommend.
Yeah.
Wow, it's good. I'm going to give it to you guys after to read. And these are not word for word quotes, but this is like some of the messages that are in there. One is, we are not human doings, we are human beings.
That's
like
that.
So stop doing shit and just start being.
Being the shit.
Like a warm cup of soup.
Yeah,
I like that.
Oh, the other one, so good. Schedule your priorities. Don't prioritize your schedule.
Yeah, no, those are awesome.
That should be the most important thing in your day. The stuff that is meaningful and is taking care of your health and your mind and everything like that.
But most people's priorities are their schedule.
Exactly.
Like us included. We're still recovering, still trying to do this.
And
yeah,
it's always sticks with me. If you're saying yes to something, you're saying no to something else. So if you're saying yes to that event or that trip or that this, you are saying no to your self-care, your alone time, whatever you're, you know, whatever you're saying, no, your passion project, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Love that. And then I would like to read the 4-Hour Work Week. I have not read it yet, but I listened to the Tim Ferriss's intro on Audible or something, not Audible, on audio.
Okay.
And one of the things in there was basically, if retirement wasn't a thing in our society, how would that affect people's day-to-day lives? Because so many people are working towards this like gold pot of gold at the end of the life, where it's like, yeah, let me just get through these 40 years and then the last couple decades of my life will be great. I'll have enough money, I'll have time. Yeah, but you're also going to be old as shit and probably not want to do any of those things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you got to get through 40 years of not enjoying your day-to-day life. So I really love that, like, if retirement wasn't a thing and you could basically be retired now in a way, what would you be doing?
I love that.
Dude, that was good stuff.
So good.
And then I have another one.
Oh my gosh. This is just, you guys, what is this, a Patreon episode?
I feel like these are all good
shit.
This
is awesome.
This one, basically, I forgot where I heard this, but it is so good. If you're busy, you're not in control. If you are busy every day, that's on you. That's because you didn't set the proper boundaries for yourself. Yes, there's exceptions. If there's a family emergency and something like derails your plans and then you're at the hospital all day, obviously. But if you are busy, it is usually your own fault because you didn't make self-care a priority and stuff like that.
Yeah, busy in a bad way. I think there's busy in a good way, like purposeful or whatever. Like if you have a lot of things going on in a day that are all like making you feel good. But if it's like bad busy, you know the difference.
Yeah.
We've all known the difference between like, okay, I slammed this day with all this shit that I really don't want to do.
Yeah.
And that's on me because I didn't say no to any of it.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm always beating myself up with that, with road work, because it gets to be, you know, 6 months from now, from when I booked the thing.
Right.
And when you're 6 months away, you're like, look at all the work I have 6 months from now when I will have fixed everything.
Sure.
And then you get there and you're like, oh, no, I'm still in pieces.
Yeah.
It's my fault. And I didn't have to do this. And I'm my own boss. And I'm running myself into the ground.
Ooh,
well, also the difference of like getting an email to get booked. Like that's that transaction. That's all that is. Versus actually doing it is taking your whole body, flying it across the country, staying in a fucking weird hotel for however many days, doing the work. Like it's so quick and easy to be like, yeah, I want to do that. It's just an email with a sentence and you're like, yes. And then what it actually takes is so much more than that quick little transaction.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like I want to go skydiving, but I don't want to be terrified for, you know, however long beforehand and have the possibility of something bad happening. Like there's plenty of things I want to do that maybe aren't the best for me.
Yeah.
Right. You know? Yeah. One of the minimalists, Joshua Fields Milburn, I think is his full name. He likes to use the quote. He's quoting somebody else when he says this quite often, but it's not a matter of being busy. It's what are you busy about? What are you busy doing? Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's a way we can kind of like combat that if we can just ask ourselves a list of questions before we actually commit to something, right? Like if we can get
a checklist,
right? Like if we can just get like really honest, I haven't thought of the questions, but it's like, you know, do I really want to go to this thing? Maybe like if you can picture yourself there, you know, how am I feeling if I'm there? Mm-hmm. Like if I'm saying yes to this, what am I saying no to that weekend?
If it's not a fuck yes, it's a no.
Yeah.
That's one of your favorites.
I love it.
Yeah.
And also like productive versus purposeful. That was a big thing on our Facebook group that one of our listeners wrote, which has really stuck with me, that like, instead of doing things to feel productive, she and her husband ask each other at the end of the day, like, was your day purposeful? And
love that.
So yeah, I think there's a little checklist you can go through.
Do I give a shit about this thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do I want to spend all of these hours on this thing, or would I rather spend those hours on a different thing?
Yeah.
And do you have it? Like,
do you have the time?
That's like what I've been trying to ask myself lately is like, I know you want to do all these things. These things are purposeful. You're working towards certain goals, but do you can you do it?
Yeah.
Because maybe you can't, or maybe you can, force yourself to push through it, but like, is that going to be good for you, or is that going to be a risk to your mental and emotional and physical health?
Right. You're not a robot.
Yeah. Yep. Unfortunately.
I know.
Wow. That was a good quotables, you guys.
A lot of quotes.
Someday.
Yeah. We got some segments. I got some stuff.
Yeah.
I have a good shit. I just got back from New York City, and I had posted on my Instagram where I would be performing, and I just posted it like on my little Instagram stories, just like a quick list of here's where I'm going to be performing. One of my shows was at a barbershop. It's like this barbershop show in New York that only seats, I want to say, 20 to 25 people, because it's a fucking barbershop. but the point is, like, it's a very kind of like secret, unknown thing or whatever. It's a showcase show. Nobody's like headlining. It's like five comics each doing 10 minutes. Yeah. And I went and did it. It was so much fun. I love that show. And afterward, I had two separate people come up to me that are like personal fans of mine that saw from my Instagram story I was going to be performing there and got tickets. And one of them was a helpster, and she was the fucking sweetest. She was so cute. And she came up and said that her boyfriend, who also listens to Self Helpless, had seen on my Instagram story I was performing at this barbershop and surprised her with tickets.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so I was like, oh my God, good man. But, and she's like, oh my gosh, we say that all the time. And she was just so, so sweet. And it meant so much to me that there was like a helpster in the audience. And then another guy came up right after her who said he found me through the This Is Not Happening clip on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I think he actually might also be a Self-Helpless listener. But this is all to say that like that stuff doesn't really happen for me often. Like that hasn't been a frequent thing so far in my comedy career where people come out like to showcase shows. It's a little different when like you're headlining a weekend and we're promoting it heavily on the podcast or whatever. And like your name's on the marquee or whatever. But to have it just be this like small show with 25 people and like two of those people to be there for me and like come and like want a picture and want a hug. Aww. It just made me feel so good. And it made me like just so fucking grateful for this podcast that like this is helping our comedy careers in that way. I just want to let those people know that made my fucking night. Aww. Like I texted you guys as soon as it happened. Just we love having helpsters at the shows so much. So that was like a nice feeling. It made me feel special that you guys came to see me. So thanks.
That's awesome.
And that's just proof, you guys. I always tell people that at shows too, when they're like, thanks, I love the podcast. You guys are great. I'm like, I'm going to text them right after we leave.
Yeah. Like, it's not like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I feel like this is the start of just like more and more like growth for the podcast. I just want I just want everybody to listen to our podcast, obviously.
I just want to meet everybody.
Yeah. It really, it's a total game changer when you get to meet them face to face.
Yeah.
I get to interact with a lot of them through Dicks by Delaney because so many have supported the business. But yeah, when we went to the ATC Fest in Arizona, that was like my first real experience with so many of them at once. And it is so cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
It's very surreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my good shit. And then the other thing I had, which I think we want to do a full episode on, but I'm understanding more and more that I have like an actual addiction to adrenaline, which I guess you technically can have an addiction to anything, but I didn't know that that was...
It's part of workaholism.
Yeah. I didn't know that was like a real thing. And I've been doing a bunch of research about it. So we're going to do a separate episode on it, but I just wanted to touch on that, like, holy shit, that's been at the forefront of my brain a lot. I had like a full teary conversation with Taylor. What was that, last week maybe?
Yeah, last week.
Of just feeling so like frustrated with myself, like more of like Netflix type of behavior where it's like
perfectionism stuff,
where it's like creating stress to get that rush of adrenaline. So it's not like, because a lot of time when you hear adrenaline addiction, you think like people that are into skydiving or bungee jumping or whatever, but you can be doing it. You can be setting yourself up for adrenaline rushes all day, every day, just by like acting impulsively or whatever. But I just felt so like frustrated and kind of helpless that like shit keeps happening where I'm like, why the fuck am I doing this to myself? Like, why can't I stop? And it's like, cause there's this part of me that really likes that sick feeling for some reason. But
it's just so interesting because you wouldn't expect that.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center. Thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
But like, if when I just hear adrenaline addiction, I'm like, oh, so you're just like riding roller coasters, banging 18-year-olds, you're so responsible, like that you wouldn't expect that to be the case. But what you're saying makes so much sense about creating stress so you can feel something, and like, being so hard on yourself, and just like, that completely checks out.
Yeah, it's kind of a steady stream, and because that's like, I guess, the worst fear for people with adrenaline addiction is that your life would be boring, or that you would be thought of as boring, which is like a huge fear of mine. But yeah, it's really everywhere. It's been interesting to do this research and see like so many other people.
You're scared of being boring? Really?
Yeah. Really? I'm scared of having a boring life.
Oh,
I mean, I'm a fucking stand-up comedian for a living. That's all adrenaline.
That's true.
That's literally 100% adrenaline. But I do think that's like a fairly healthy outlet, is like the adrenaline of going and performing. But there's just a lot of shit on a day-to-day basis I do that I'm like, wow, this is just to get a rush. And it's not a good rush. It's like a bad rush.
That's so interesting that you said that, because my whole thing the last couple of years is coming to terms with the fact that I want a boring life.
Yeah, adrenaline aversion.
I still have like some adrenaline issues too, because of the workaholic tendencies have definitely shifted over into other areas now.
Yeah.
But for me, it was like I was going against what I truly wanted the whole time. And I thought that I shouldn't want what I actually want. And what I want is to be home and to go at a slower pace and to do way less things than I was doing. And I was really fighting that for so long, thinking like, no, I got all these great opportunities. I got to go. I got to do it. I got to do this. And all I wanted was to not be doing it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give you that book right after I'm done. It sounds like you need it. And it touches on all of that as well. And because workaholism, it's a substance addiction and a process addiction. So it's adrenaline
and overdoing.
Yes.
And they go into all those. I mean, it's really, really good. So I'm going to.
Right. Because I feel like watching you slow down has made us want to slow down more.
Yes.
But something in that, I think, like, is fighting that slowing down. So it ramps up in other areas. Like, it's like it has to feed on something.
Yep.
One of the big things people talk about is that you're always running late. Like, you're never giving yourself enough time to either accomplish what you need to accomplish for the day or get where you need to go on time. And so that those 20 minutes of me rushing to get out the door is adrenaline. I intentionally,
right.
I'm almost 30 years old. I should know how to have like proper time management. I will intentionally like be doing something for longer than I know I should, because I know it's going to give me adrenaline to be rushing to get out the door. It's just like looking for it in all these little places.
Yeah. What happens when you have nothing to do or
I don't do well.
Like, what is that feeling? You feel really uneasy. You feel like you can't relax. Or like, what are thoughts are going through your head?
If I wake up and I don't have anything to do that day or something, then it's like what you said you do, where all of a sudden you make your self-care a workaholic thing. You're like, okay, well then I have to meditate today and I have to go on a run and maybe I'll go get a massage and maybe I'll do like.
Is that workaholism?
Yeah.
That's not just taking care of yourself. That's not
if
just
you're
like,
doing it compulsively. So my problem.
That's not just going like, well, I have all the time today, so I'm going to use the time off.
It depends what you're why you're trying to fit. Like, if you're trying to fit 10 self-care activities for the sake of being able to like cross them off a list, it's not a good reason to do it. Okay. If you're like, you know what? I could go for a massage and a really good sushi or something. And you got a couple things on your list and you're leaving time for the rest of the day to just kind of be spontaneous and do whatever. That's a more healthy approach than I have 2 hours and 2 hours. I want to meditate and do a gratefulness mantra and I want to eat healthy and I want to go grocery shopping and whatever else. That's a little bit. Yeah. And then they say kind of stray away from those things. And that's unfortunately kind of what I'm struggling with right now, because now I work from home and I have more time. Like I've gained the time that I was commuting to and from work. I've gained all this extra time at home, and luckily I now have the time to take care of myself, but I'm also taking care of myself in a compulsive manner, I think, that might be not really de-stressing the way that I'd hope. But I think it's probably a healthier addiction or healthier tendencies than running around all day and night, you know,
unless you're beating yourself up for not doing yoga or something.
So what I've been doing, I've been able to like stick to a morning routine since I left my job. And, depending on how much time I feel like I have in the morning, it could be 5 minutes, it could be 10, it could be 20. I will show up and do those things. So maybe I'm only stretching for 30 seconds and then meditating for 30 seconds and then I go about my day, or maybe I have 20 minutes where I can devote to that, but I'm at least kind of building up the habit of just, you know, getting in that routine to take care of myself. But I haven't really found a happy balance with doing it not because I think I should, you know, like it's
right. I understand
there's a fine line. I mean, there's people out there that are addicted to eating healthy and running and all that stuff. And it's like the stress of that addictive tendency is not good for you. Like they could be doing good things for themselves, but if they're just like intense the whole time and they're, like you said, kind of beating themselves up, if they have a cracker, you know, that has gluten in it or something, like that's not going to be good for their body either.
It's
I'm trying so hard to like start making progress and not doing those things, but it's just, it runs so deep and I've been doing it for so long. I feel like I literally need like a different person's brain put in my head, but anyway,
rewire.
We'll do a full episode on that and I'm going to do more, more and more research.
I'm excited to learn more about that.
Yeah. There's a lot.
I've never even heard of it. I have a defuck. I'm trying to get into this quickly because you guys already know all the details of it. But basically, you guys know, because some people on our, I talked about fainting on the podcast or on the, was it on the podcast or was it on the Patreon?
I don't remember.
I think it was on the podcast.
It must have been on the podcast because people were talking about it on the Facebook group.
Yeah, it was on the podcast.
And there were a couple girls who were taking Prozosin, someone who had just been prescribed it.
Oh.
And somebody who'd been taking it for a long time for their nightmares, and it had helped them.
Oh.
So it does work. So,
you know, everyone's so different, like mm-hmm. everything's gonna work. And I commented that where I was like, everyone's really different, don't let me scare you off, this is just what happened to me. So that happened like the day I started taking Prozac, and you know, 5 days after I started taking Prozac, I started having really bad chest pain and like shortness of breath. And when I asked my psychiatrist if that was normal, she said no, and she goes, you probably just have indigestion. And I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe I ate
which
too fast.
So
like
weird.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know, I ate pretty fast before I went to go do a show, maybe that was it. So I was like, would that be in my chest? Like, it doesn't feel like burning, it feels like someone's standing on my chest.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, it's probably that. And I was like, okay. And then after like a day and a half, it wasn't going anywhere. I was supposed to get on a plane in the morning, and at like 12:30 in the morning I called her and was just like, I don't know what to do, like, because she was saying like, can you live with it? And I was like, I mean, I guess if you think it'll go away in a couple days. And she goes, well, if you can live with it, then just live with it until it goes away. And I was supposed to up my dosage, and I was like, I don't want to up the dosage while I'm feeling like this. And thank God I didn't, because it would have just made this worse. But I ended up like spending the night in urgent care with Kyle, who is an angel of music. And he like, they just like, I went in, and of course the first thing they said was like, you probably like pulled something in your chest, like you probably had a muscle spasm and now you're just obsessing about it. Like, they're so dismissive, they're just like, right, it's all in your head. And I was just sitting there feeling like, am I just anxious, is this all in my head, is this mental? I felt crazy. And like, and even my psychiatrist was like, just go to urgent care right now at 1 a.m. and then you can still get on a plane at 8 a.m. And I'm like, you're a shitty psychiatrist. Like, I can't believe you're telling me to do that.
Yeah.
And then like after like 4 hours in there, they came in after like pulling a shitload of blood out of me.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I've got like a big bruise right here still.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Like, just like, just annoying. And they did an EKG and they did another test after they found this. But they found I have an AV conduction block, which is like an electrical delay in your heart. And the first degree is not a big deal and usually don't have symptoms and it's totally fine, but like second degree and third degree is where it gets bad and you might need a pacemaker, and that's when you have the symptoms I was having, but I didn't have those degrees of it. So she goes, I'm sorry it took so long, I had to do research and figure out if antidepressants aggravate this.
Oh,
so like,
God.
Even she and my psychiatrist were like straight up googling stuff.
Hello.
Yeah, she, like, my psychiatrist told me, she's like, yeah, that's not a normal side effect, but I googled it and I found like one thing that said it might be, so maybe you're just one of those people that has it. And I was like, motherfucker, Jesus. You're googling,
what are we paying you for?
I know, like, wow. What is this? But so she was like, I'm gonna do one more test to make sure you're not having a heart attack, just like for my own peace of mind. And I was like, great.
Yeah.
And
for my peace of mind too.
Number one.
Yeah, it should have been number one.
One off the list.
But then, like, you know, I had to cancel my shows in Indianapolis. I know there are some people who are coming to that. I'm really sorry. That's why I canceled them. I canceled Thursday and was like, I'll come in Friday. And then after that appointment and staying up all night, Kyle was just like, just stay home. Like, just don't go to Indianapolis. And I'm like, I don't know, I should. And I'm glad I didn't, because I mean, it was a rough weekend of like not being able to sleep very well and like not there was like no position where it didn't hurt, and like just not getting it too in your head about it, because you're like, my heart's gonna stop. But like, it's just the last couple days started like getting better, but it's supposed to take like 2 weeks for it to go out of your system completely. So but there, my psychiatrist was saying after I updated her, she was like, well, that makes sense why you had such a strong why you had such strong side effects on Lexapro at the beginning of last year. Because when I told her I was like sleeping, you know, most of the day and really exhausted, she was like, well, that's not really normal.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'm weird. She's like, yeah, sometimes that just happens to people. So I'm guessing it's probably because of this thing.
Yeah.
And she goes, yeah, that totally makes sense. So it's been kind of shitty to just realize like, oh, cool, so medication just isn't going to be an option for me. I mean, she said there were other things we can talk about, but I'm so at the end of my rope right
now. Yeah,
where I'm like, I don't want to put anything else in my body. Like,
right.
I want to use weed. And that's it. And then, you know what? We're just going to have to be really, really good about drinking water and exercising and not eating sugar, because...
And lowering your stress levels.
And lowering
your stress
level. And
maybe incorporating some kind of, like, meditation or something like that. You know, like, restful practice.
Yeah.
Is this something that they said that you're born with or you develop, or how does
that
work?
Both. Yeah, they said both. They said, she said there are people who are just born with it. And again, it's fine. She's like, it doesn't even mean that you'll necessarily... She's like, she basically just said, just keep an eye on it.
You're at level one?
Yeah, yeah, I was first degree.
But so how does it get to those other levels?
That's what I said. I was like, is there anything I can do? Like, is there anything that's going to aggravate it? She's like, you know, just like stress, lack of sleep, those will make it worse. And I'm like, okay, so just like normal stuff. But I don't know if there's anything I can do. I mean, I already, the only meat I eat is fish. I mean, the only thing I can think of for heart stuff is like red meat's not supposed to be good, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, obviously sugar is bad. Like, I don't really do... I'm pretty healthy.
Yeah.
So all I can think is just to be really healthy. And again, I mean, I looked it up and everywhere says, like, first degree doesn't need any treatment. Like, you usually won't even know about it. And, you know, a lot of, like, athletes have it or whatever. Like, it's not a big deal. It's just when you get into those second and third degrees, that's when, like, you start to have the symptoms I was having. So I was in this weird place of, like, okay, so it's, you're telling me it's not a big deal, but I'm having the symptoms of what would be, what would need treatment, but it's just because I was on the antidepressant.
Okay.
So I was like trying not to like, you know, get in my head where I was going like, maybe it's more serious and they just like the test came out wrong, you know, like you just trying to be fine with it.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just like, it's scary. It's one of those things where you get into like a bad headspace and like, the last week I was very much like, we're already thinking about death all the time. We've talked about that.
Yeah.
So the past week I was just like, well, if this is it, which it wasn't, and everything's fine. But, it was certainly like, you know, you, whenever something weird happens with your health, you're just like, okay, like, I guess I'm just gonna change everything now. Like, I'm really gonna settle in. And like, my health insurance just changed. So I hadn't gotten my new card yet. So like, I had to just like pay out of pocket, which sucked. And then like, my therapist that I've been seeing for the last few months, not on my new health insurance. So now I have to decide if I'm gonna find somebody new after I've just spent like the last few months with her. Like, finally.
And you really like her.
And I do really like her. But now it's like, okay, do I spend like $150 an hour to see this lady for however long I need to, or do I start over with someone else? Like, it's just, it's been a rough like first couple weeks to just like have that motivation of like, this year I'm gonna do this and this, these are my goals, I'm, you know, gonna be really healthy, and then to just feel like you kind of get knocked on your ass a little bit of like,
I'm so sorry.
I'm trying to,
that's a scary thing to find out that you have a heart thing.
But
that's really jarring.
It is, but it's not, it again, it shouldn't be a big deal, but it does, it does make you go like, all right, yeah, no, I need to be serious about not being stressed out. Because everything you read about stress is like, oh, stress is the thing that's going to kill you.
Stress is the biggest killer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, all these other things are causes or symptoms of stress, right?
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. It's like stress and sugar are the two things that everybody's really like, well, we were never going to get away from it. And it's like, those are the things that are going to murder you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why this whole adrenaline stuff is so scary, because it's like, I'm basically like giving myself a high dose of stress every day.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Stress and sugar are like the two things that are so hard to avoid too.
Yeah.
They're just on a day to day. They're in everything.
Yeah. And when you're stressed, you want to eat sugar. So
yeah.
Kind of fucked.
That's a vicious cycle.
Yeah. What's going on with you, Adele?
Well, let's see. I mean, I could just keep going with the defuck stuff, I guess. So I'm a new business owner, Dicks by Delaney. I launched in September, and I still, I mean, I knew nothing about running a business. I didn't go to school for it. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, I'll be honest. And so September to now, I've learned so much about what it takes to run a business and all the little things that you don't think about. And I just have so much respect for all the business owners and small business owners out there. Wow, it's a lot of work. And I basically was doing way too much for a couple months. I was still at my day job. So I was waking up at about 5 a.m. doing Dicks by Delaney stuff, going to work for 9-10 hours, coming home, and then staying up until 2 a.m. to do Dicks by Delaney stuff.
Oh, girl.
I tried to do it for too long. I should have left my day job a lot sooner, but I was holding out to get that holiday vacation pay. Anyway, mistake. But I just want to let everybody know I'm so appreciative of the support from, you know, the moment I launched until now. So many of those orders are helpsters. And thank you for, like, sticking with me right now to like, I'm still working out the kinks with stuff, and I'm I was so overwhelmed with doing too much at once that I ended up forgetting to send a couple people their orders during the holidays, because it was a day that I was at work, we were doing self-helpless stuff, orders were coming in. Luckily, they both, those orders both arrived before Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, so they were able to get them in time. But I just felt terrible. I felt so bad because I'm in this position where so many of my customers are people who will listen to the podcast. And so I just felt like, oh my God, I felt like the biggest piece of shit failure ever for not like, you know, like we said, like being a robot and doing everything perfectly. So yeah, I just want to thank everybody for supporting Dicks by Delaney. And I'm trying to figure out like how I'm going to scale this, or if I'm going to scale, or like what I'm going to be doing with it. But it's been a crazy learning process. I've never really been in the position to ask myself like, well, what is important to me when it comes to running a business? Like, I get to do it my way. And in the beginning, I was trying to do it other, like what I've seen in the past, or like I was putting unnecessary pressure on myself to do certain things that might not make sense. But it's like, I was putting pressure on myself to have like the best like gift boxes and packaging and all these extra things that it's like, you know what, why don't I just start small with the product and a very simple packaging and just ship it out? Like, why am I putting all this extra stress on myself that I could be building up to? And like, so, yeah, it's been a very big learning experience. I don't know. That's like a defuck moment I've had. Like, holy shit, I'm running a business now. I'm a few months deep.
Yeah.
And I am figuring it out as I go.
Yeah. So, well, you're doing a great job.
Thanks.
Like, when you're like, I have no idea what I'm doing. You do. Like, you really do. And you're doing great. You know,
give yourself
some credit.
I'm trying. Yeah. I've appreciated all the customer feedback too. That's how I'm like learning, you know, about kind of where I should go for next steps and everything. So
yeah.
And that's been interesting. Being successful is you have to catch up to your success, and it's not like you're struggling to drum up business, which would be
right, which I'm so grateful
harder.
For
yeah.
This is what happened. I went into my day job and was like, I'm launching this thing that I've been doing as a hobby. It's probably going to take several months for it to become, you know, a regular thing. And because our podcast listeners are incredible, I had orders waiting for me the very next day after plugging it on the podcast. So I basically set myself up not for failure, but I didn't plan for success. I went in there not planning for the success of it. I went in there planning for it to take about 8 months.
Yeah.
And I would just be slowly building and working up on it. So when it was in a way, like, I don't want to say overnight success, because I'm still working a lot of things out, but the number of orders, I met my daily minimum within 2 weeks of what I needed to leave my day job.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh shit, I gave them like over 2 months notice because I thought this was going to take a lot longer.
Right.
So, definitely learned a lot of lessons, the past few months with running this, but, I've been really loving it. Like, I would say I am 90% happier doing this than what I was doing at my day job. Like, it's never going to be perfect. There's always going to be stressors and stuff, but I don't have that dread, like that the night before you got to go to work and you're fucking dreading it. I don't have that anymore. And that is a huge relief. And I just want everybody to feel that.
Yeah. That's such a good feeling. God. That's such a good feeling.
Yeah. No more Sunday night dread. No, none of that. Like,
oh God, I remember that.
Yeah.
That was the worst.
Nobody should live like that. Mm-mm.
Dread is the worst type of stress.
It's really terrible.
It's like the impending. Yeah. Oh my God.
So heavy. So yeah, that's kind of what I've been doing the last several months. Really.
My soon-to-be sister-in-law, Kane's sister, received her dick mug.
Oh, she did.
That her husband bought. And so I got a picture in like a text message thread yesterday of her. And I was like, oh my God, this looks exactly like her.
Oh my God,
it looks
awesome.
So good.
Yay.
So
thanks.
You're killing it.
Thanks.
And also when you're like, I get that you are like learning more and more, but you are so like proficient at running your own business now that like you've been helping Kane get his like small business, trying to get that going. And I just was like, damn, that's so cool that like Delaney's in a place where she can actually help other people figure out how to like navigate things. And he told me like what you guys talked about. And I was like, oh my God, those are all such good ideas. So
yay.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, thank you. I honestly like
I would love to eventually move into like small business coaching or business mentorship, or honestly just like personal growth coaching. I've always resisted the idea of like being a life coach. I don't really like that term because it's not like you're alive. I'm not coaching you on how to breathe and shit. It's just
life
like
is so broad. I mean, that's for everything. Like,
But I'm like, man, personal goal type coaching is really my jam. And I do it all the time for like friends or family or whoever has questions about stuff. And we've talked about like being in the flow or being enthusiastic about something. I would say like when I'm like talking to somebody, getting all fired up, like one-on-one about like bouncing ideas off, that's like when I'm at some of my happiest times.
Yeah.
Is when I'm doing that with people. So I'm like trying not to ignore that anymore. And trying to like, you know, if that kind of keeps going, I'm just going to like be open to that being a possibility for me in the future.
Well, I think you'd be so good at that.
Yeah. That's what you do on Patreon right now. Like you're already helping our listeners with that.
Yeah.
And like the people around you. So it's very cool.
Cool.
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, so meat time.
Yeah. Meat time.
Let's get the knives.
Got our carving
knives
out.
Pass out the steak knives.
Oh my gosh.
What? Should we talk about what are our New Year's resolutions or updates from last year that we feel like we've improved on?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Start with like where we were in 2018 to now.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. You want to start, doll?
Sure.
I mean, you've got, like you just said, huge
Holy
life change
fuck,
to be
man.
Self-employed now.
So let's see. Last year around Christmas time. So I guess in the last year, Cam and I moved into our dream apartment and we're living there and I'm super happy. I left my day job for something I really enjoyed doing. That was like a 6.5 year goal that came to fruition this year. And I'm so grateful. So those are big ones. We moved that. I mean, the podcast growth has been incredible in the last year.
Yeah.
And all the new developments with it that we're super excited to share with you guys very soon. I'm trying to think what else. I think those are probably the big ones. Cam and I are about to adopt a dog, which was another goal of mine the last year, probably. Yeah. Those are some pretty big...
That's so
milestones,
cool.
Milestones, I feel like. I feel like I've really settled into my life in a way.
Yeah.
Like I felt like a jumbled mess last year, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was still pretty lost as like what I wanted to do and like what my plan was.
Yeah, you were talking about acting again.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll be an actor. Maybe I'll be a producer. I have gone through so much crazy stuff and I'm glad I did because it took me a while to figure out what I wanted to do. And for me, it's like, I won't know if I like it until I try it. I'm just one of those people. It's gotta try everything. I think those are the big ones, the business and Cam and I moving.
Yeah.
And just like being very minimalistic and intentional with my time now. It's like night and day from where I was a year ago.
Yeah.
I'm taking a lot better care of myself and I needed to make some huge lifestyle changes to do that. And one was leaving a job that I didn't like.
Yeah.
And man, I have so much more energy. I'm taking my care of myself every day. Fuck. It's been fantastic.
It's been a really good year.
It's been really good.
That's crazy. I hadn't even thought about the fact that you were still thinking about like acting, producing. Like you weren't totally sure.
I was just so lost, dude. Yeah. I was so lost.
Because this time last year, I remember I felt like, oh man, Delaney's really figured it out. Like, oh, just be home more. Yeah. And we were so burnt out. Like, I mean, I'm sure a lot of my goals this year are going to be the same as last year. But as far as like how things have changed on my end, like, I feel like I am in a just
relationship.
Oh my God. Oh, relationship wise, I could not be in a more different place.
Yeah.
January 1st last year, I was breaking up with my boyfriend at the time for like what would be the first of three or four attempts over the next 3 months, you know, yeah, like just in a terrible place, like was not in therapy yet. Hadn't tried the antidepressants thing, which now, you know, it sucks to know that that's not an option, but at least we know that now, I guess.
Yeah.
The nightmares were terrible, which I'm still working on, but like, yeah, the biggest thing is probably just like the relationship thing and commuting all the time and traveling so much.
Oh, moving in together.
Moving in together. I feel like I've really cut back on traveling for sure for this coming year. I've been keeping an eye on my calendar and like, you know, Kyle and I have a fair amount of like trips planned, whether it's for, you know, him coming with me for work things or for, you know, weddings or whatever else that I'm looking forward to. I feel like I've done a pretty good job of keeping weekends open at home.
Yeah.
And I just like, I cannot believe it was only a year ago that I was there. I can't believe it was only like 10 months ago that I was
That's crazy.
Getting out of that very toxic relationship.
Yeah.
Like, because it's just like my relationship with Kyle now is like, it's so, so different. And I feel so stable in a way that makes me feel like it's what's made me feel comfortable enough confronting my dad about things.
Like, yeah, that's amazing. That, yeah, I was gonna bring that up, is like, that's probably one of the biggest things that I've seen happen to you over the course of a year,
right?
That shift.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's definitely connected, and it was really tough, like moving, that only happened a few months ago, moving in with Kyle, which it would have been tough regardless, but it was tough moving with Kyle and leaving my sisters and relinquishing that control of like, you know, knowing they were okay, and they have a new roommate now and they're all doing great, mm-hmm, and everybody's doing fine and there was nothing to worry about. And I feel like I've really taken steps to sort of untangle myself in a healthy way from my family. But even now there are certain things, like, you know, I got in a fight with my dad this weekend, not like a full on fight, but an argument, and I didn't let it affect me in the same way that it would have even a year ago, 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you guys have always told me, like, once you find the person, like, you're creating your own family now.
Yeah.
You know, like, you have your own plans, you have your own life, and you don't have to rely on the family you were born into. Even though I do in large part, especially with my sisters being so close to them, and I'm so grateful for them. But, yeah, the parental approval that I've felt like I needed for a long time, I don't feel that way anymore. I'm starting to feel more like, and it's coming out in my work as well, and working on jokes about it. And, yeah, I mean, it's tough because there's still so much to work on, but that's been the biggest thing, is just getting to a healthy place, finding what I knew I wanted and needed and hoped I deserved.
Yeah.
And just learning like how to be a better partner, I guess.
Yeah. Mm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Such big years for both of you guys.
Yeah. You too, Kels.
Yeah. Well, we're currently recording in my beautiful apartment that I love so fucking much. And that was maybe the biggest change for me, was like relinquishing that fear of like, okay, if I make this leap into another financial situation, am I going to regret it? Is my life going to like spiral out of control? Are we going to end up homeless? And I owe so much of that, maybe entirely all that, to you guys, just really pushing me to get into a place where I felt like safe and happy. And I get that now, because that was such a big part of like me being on the road, where I was just like way overbooking myself because I didn't like being home.
Yeah.
And now it's like torture to be away from here.
Yeah.
Like, it's so crazy, how much I hate not being in this apartment. So Kane and I moving to a better area and a better apartment, just that's like, I think the biggest, because it's a day-to-day change.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Us getting engaged is a really big change, and just like feeling so like set and so like strong and solid in our relationship, and just like having no fear of getting married is a cool thing to feel, because when we got engaged the first time, I was so fucking terrified. Like, it was all fear, because
I just so young.
I was so young, and I just feel like we were not ready for that step. So I've said it before, but I'm glad that that happened, because it's fun now to be able to compare that feeling with the feeling I have now and be like, oh, like, yeah, this is how you're supposed to feel, where it's like, it's not even a dramatic change. Like, I feel like once we get married, we're not gonna be like, oh my god, we're married. We're just gonna be like, yay, we're married. Like, it's, we already feel so married now, and so like, you know, committed, and
yeah
so those two are probably the biggest things. And I think like finding new management, because at the end of last year, at the end of 2017, I was like in a really, that was a low. I was in a really bad place. I just had like several really like dark, bad things happen to me in a row, and I felt a little bit lost and like kind of like I couldn't trust anybody. Mm-hmm. So finding new management who I really love and who I have like a really healthy relationship with, feels good. And I think that is just part of, another big change last year, which was like making boundaries and being really clear on, like what I need from people and what I don't need from people, and just having a better relationship with myself. Because when I wasn't having as good of a relationship with myself, I felt like I was more susceptible to have bad relationships with other people that were more like codependent or unhealthy. So yeah, the boundary work, like working on the workaholism stuff, us going to that Workaholics Anonymous meeting really was like super eye-opening. And like this podcast has fucking changed our lives, and the fact that from now like doing Patreon and having ads and stuff, that it financially provides all this stability that I just did not have. Like, that just wasn't there. I was solely dependent on going on the road to like have a roof over my head, which was just such a, that's such a maddening cycle to be in. Cause you're like, I literally have to fly somewhere to make money to be able to live in this place that I'm not even sleeping in most of the time.
Right.
Like, it's, that's so crazy. So it feels amazing now to, like not feel that horrible pressure, that like doom that we were talking about of like, oh my God, like I don't have any control over my career. It's completely in the hands of these bookers. Yeah. I hated that feeling.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, again, from like the bottom of my heart, just thank all you listeners so much for being a part of this like self-helpless family. And it means the world to us, and we genuinely enjoy doing this work.
Oh my god, yeah,
it just having
like work at all.
Having you guys here, like even though we're really tired today, it just felt good to be around you and like be, you know, talking about productive versus purposeful, but I do feel like both productive and purposeful with you guys today, and it feels really nice.
Oh yeah. I forgot another big thing. I transitioned out of stand-up this past year.
Oh my god,
that was a huge,
and your special.
Yeah, I did. I filmed my special Love at First Cousin, and that was like my project to get out of it. But my gosh, that was such a heavy weight on my shoulder for so long, and it was so daunting, and it was so hard going through it. And now that it's been, is it January? It's been 9 months since I've been on stage performing.
Wow.
And I have not missed it at all.
Wow, that's so great. You know for sure.
I know for sure now. And like, we even, you know, when we talk about going on tour, I even told you guys, like, I don't feel like my authentic self going up and performing stand-up.
I think
I'm gonna have to do something else. Mm-hmm. So like, it's been really weird and eye-opening. And I just, anybody out there who's scared to make a career change or a lifestyle change, whatever, stop fighting what you want, because holy shit, does it feel good to actually be living the way that you want to be living.
Yeah.
I was going against everything. I was going out every night I was gone all the time, and like all I wanted to do was have like a routine and be home and stuff. And yeah, if you like stop fighting against those wants, it's like it's okay to want what you want and to go after it.
You're right. I'm gonna have a baby. I'm gonna do it.
Thank God, finally.
Oh man. Oh, another thing. Taylor's gonna have a baby in about 9 months. Yeah. This is another thing that we've all talked about the last year is like severe fear and anxiety around death. So Alua Arthur, you guys gotta listen to that episode if you haven't. She was the death doula that we had on. She said something that really stuck with me. I think it was me who brought it up. Like, I have a very severe anxiety about death. Mm-hmm. And like, I think about it constantly. And she basically responded with, well, what that tells me is you probably don't have your beliefs in place, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm like, oh fuck, I got to get my beliefs in place. So, I've always been like agnostic, and I was a religious studies major in college. Like, I'm very open to all that stuff. I just didn't really know what I was thinking. So I've done so much research on near-death experiences and death experiences mm-hmm. that I have found fascinating, and we're going to do an episode on just that. But if anybody has that death anxiety, I highly recommend just looking into some of those accounts and stories. They have podcasts and YouTube videos and TED Talks, all kinds of stuff about it. That has relieved my anxiety so much because so awesome. There's so many interesting accounts that that basically match, and it kind of makes you think like, huh, all right, maybe it isn't just like you're done after. Maybe there's like another thing that we can't really even wrap our heads around. That's everything's gonna be okay.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
I've been trying to like refocus whenever I have fears about death. I've been trying to have like a mantra almost. I don't know if I told you about this, where I wrote it down during morning pages, and that's how I like got to it, where I was like, I'm just gonna start thinking I'm excited to find out what happens when we die.
That's so interesting.
Whoa. Because the whole point is like my fear has come from I don't know what happens. I don't know what happens. I don't know what happens. And no one can tell me.
Yeah.
And I've like, what do I do? There's nothing to control. Yeah. So just turning it into like, oh, I'm looking forward to figuring it out. Like, it'll be nice to know. It'll be, I'm sure it's something cool. Like trying to make it that thing, which, cause the whole like negative self-talk, there's so much truth to that. So I'm like, well, maybe we can just do some positive self-talk with death. Because if I can't, the only thing I can do about it is, the only thing any of us can do about it is make peace with it while we're here, because it's going to happen. Like, everybody's going to die. So just,
it's weird,
you know, figure out how to be okay with it while you're here, as opposed to like, you know, every time your partner leaves the house being like, and that was the last time, you know, like just being so afraid. Somebody at a show last night came up to me and was like, you look really happy on Instagram. Usually that's a lie. I was like, no, it's not though. Like, I'm so happy. Like, I'm so happy. I think he's going to die soon. Like, every time he leaves the house, I'm like, well, we're two in love. Like, he's going to get hit by something. Like,
oh man,
it's just
a shitty feeling.
Oh, it's horrible. And that's all coming from your own brain and your own like inability to let yourself be happy. So I got to listen to those.
Oh
podcasts.
Man, dude, I'm addicted now. I'm going to do I'm doing full deep dives into this shit.
Oh,
it is fascinating.
Wow.
And it's the only thing that's helped me, because I had like a loose idea of what I felt or thought or whatever, but it's almost like these are giving me kind of like steps as to what happens. Mm-hmm. That way, of course, everything is still unknown, but at least my mind is kind of at ease with like, oh, well, here's the steps that'll happen. Oh, we're good. Yeah. Like, you know, it's like, okay, I'm gonna put this to the side now.
Yeah.
I got a checklist of what I can expect onto my day, you know, like. It's really weird, but it's helped so much. Another thing that has greatly helped me is I'm basically off social media now. I mean, I'm on it for like intentional stuff, mm-hmm. whether it's to promote a podcast episode or Dicks by Delaney. But, you know, when you're doing stand-up, social media is such a great tool for promoting your shows and all that kind of stuff. And once I stopped doing stand-up, I realized I didn't really have to be on there every day doing those things. If anybody's reaching out to me on social media, I'm sorry if I don't respond or haven't responded or miss your messages. You can always email me. Like, DelaneyFisher.com has my email information.
Or send her a pigeon.
But I'm basically, I'm not on there anymore. I mean, I'm on, like, I'll post maybe once a month on Instagram.
What?
But I was posting every day.
Yeah.
Because you're, you know, it gets, pressure, you use it as a tool, and the pressure, it's like, okay, posting every day, it's blah, blah, blah. And then I just stopped doing that, and everything was not only fine, but better. Right. So I'm going to keep doing that, and I'm only going to really post if I want to share something, whether it's information about something or like, I don't know. I just want it to be more intentional.
Yeah. Mm.
Instead of like, oh God, what can I take a picture of the day to put a caption on?
Totally.
That will get maybe somebody to
feeling a little pointed.
I'm sorry. No, this was what I was doing.
Some of us have to work. Okay.
Yeah. This is
consistency.
I was doing every day.
Some of us have to save photos and post them.
Dude, I'm sorry. I don't envy
throughout
that
the week.
But I know that it can make a difference with like who comes to your shows and stuff. And that is your livelihood when you're, if people are coming to your shows and they buy a ticket, you know what I mean? It's how you're paying rent. I get that.
Yeah.
I was in the habit of doing that for those reasons. And then when I stopped doing stand-up, I was still doing the social media stuff. And I'm like, wait a minute, I don't have to do this anymore. Like that's part of the pros to leaving this part of the industry.
Totally.
And so I'm like, oh, okay, I'm just not going to do that once a day like I was doing.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I mean, I was digging for shit, dude. I was like, okay, how can I stay?
I got dirt under my fingernails,
right? Yeah,
I've been digging all the time. Deep dives in that camera roll.
Yeah, so that's released a lot of time for me to put into some other areas.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm with you. I have so many friends who have like gotten off of social media because they're just like in law school, and I'm like, that looks really nice.
But that sounds great.
I mean,
I like social media though. Like, it's not a jab at social media. I think it's just using it in a certain way. You know,
right.
like it's a great tool. It's a great communicator. I love keeping up with like people and friends and stuff. I think I was just doing it compulsively.
Yeah.
Well, it's the difference between somebody telling you have to do something and that if you want to do something, like it feeling like a choice versus like a command. And if you're actively pursuing stand-up, it feels like it's something you have to do. It doesn't feel like optional anymore, which sucks. But
yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say one thing that I forgot was such a big change is that I got off birth control and I'd been on it for 12 years. That's like such a fucking huge change in my life. So anyway, that like continues to be going forward a big thing in my health. But anyway, just want to mention that.
Yeah. Career wise. I mean, I had like, I was thinking about this last night cause I've just been so focused on scaling back, but like career wise, this year was pretty awesome. Like I got to do the Netflix thing. I forget that was this year. It feels like forever ago.
Dude. Yeah.
But like the Netflix 15 that was this year, I got to do the Tonight Show.
Conan.
I got to go on the Conan tour. Like,
yeah,
that's huge. That's like so cool. I mean, and then this podcast aside, which is like the most rewarding thing, but, just like, it's easy to get caught up in like, why aren't I better or why aren't I doing more, and like not look back at all the stuff you have done and kind of appreciate it on a checklist level of like, oh cool, I didn't even know I could do that and I got to do it.
Oh man,
like I didn't even have the self-esteem to make that a goal.
That's New awesome. Year's is such a good time to like stop and like make that list. Mm-hmm. I wrote a list of like 2018 wins, as Kathy Heller says, and then also my resolutions for this year. But yeah, I also felt like this past year was probably the best I've ever felt like about accomplishing career stuff. Mm-hmm. With like Tonight Show and Comedy Central and going to Paris, like that is something I completely forgot even happened until is that like wrap up or whatever on Instagram. And I was like, oh my God, that was like one of the fucking highlights in my career. That was like such a cool thing to do that. I think it like helps you to look back because it reminds you that you're capable of accomplishing these things that you want. And that like, because of that, now you get to go accomplish even bigger things that maybe before didn't seem like as possible.
Yeah.
But when you stopped it, to be like, no, I actually did this. And this wasn't a mistake. This wasn't a fluke. Like I did this cause like I earned it and I was ready and it's like, it's cool.
Yeah. You build up confidence. Like every time you hit like a milestone, you know, to move. I forgot my Lifetime movie came out this year too.
Yeah.
So between the comedy special, the Lifetime movie and Dicks by Delaney, like those are probably my top three career moments or whatever. Yeah.
You went to Paris too. Holy shit.
I know.
That's a lot to be grateful for.
Yeah.
Like
you
have a lot to be grateful for.
Absolutely.
And I love celebrating the victories as they come and not waiting until the end of the year to kind of celebrate them. Like, I think it's so important to celebrate in between as much as you can, as much as you can.
You guys really helped me with that. Cause like my gut instinct is to like, just it happened and now I move on.
Yeah.
Which is so not how it should be. But like I told you guys, I did that with my album. That was another thing. Like my album came out this last year and I just like, it was just like a day. Like I didn't celebrate it at all. Like I was happy it came out, but I just, for some reason, have such a hard time like stopping and being like, this is a cool thing you did. Be happy about it instead of just like, okay, I did it. What's next?
Yeah. I have to definitely force myself. Like I think once I received an air date for the Lifetime movie, I came home and then I was like, Cam, we got to like go to dinner or something or else I'm just going to like let this be another day and not celebrate it or whatever.
Good for you.
And so like those little things, like even if it's just like having a nice meal somewhere or like just taking a moment to be like, wow, this is fucking cool.
Yeah.
This is crazy, you know?
So what are your guys's resolutions for the new year?
I have a question before we get into that. How do you guys feel about New Year's resolutions? Do you make as many as possible and then try to accomplish as many as you can? And if you fall short, that's what's going to happen. Or do you just try to make like a few that are attainable? Because Kyle and I went over goals like maybe a month and a half ago and we like wrote them down. They're on our fridge and there's so many. And while we were writing them, he was like, this is too many goals. Like, and he's like, don't you think we should like pare these down? And I was like, no, you make like the highest level, like your best robot self.
Oh God.
And you're gonna fall short, but you're thinking about it all the time.
You're setting yourself up for failure.
And that's what he said. He was like, no, he's like, set like a realistic one. And if you exceed that, it's like, great. And I'm like, nah, I don't think so.
Like, because New Year's resolutions are like the ultimate to-do list. And what have we been talking about with minimalism is like cutting it down to like a realistic amount. Yeah. So like old me was making super long New Year's resolutions list. And this year it's 4 things.
That's awesome.
That's smart. Yeah.
And they're not like career. It's not like this year I'm going to do this thing. It's like, it's all about like feeling better about myself.
That's great.
Because
it's so healthy.
Things that are a little bit more like you are in charge of.
I don't make New Year's resolutions. These are like intentions that I've set the last like several months, you know? But yeah, I have like 4 areas that I'm focusing on. I'm focusing on my health. Mm-hmm. I'm focusing on my relationships. I'm focusing on my passions and I'm focusing on my contribution. So like that's kind of like a also minimalistic approach to I think the minimalists kind of talk about that. But for me, it's just like I have personal goals. I have professional goals. I have relationship goals, you know, like there's kind of a few per like category.
Yeah,
I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I want to pay off my debt this year. That's like a personal financial goal.
Oh, good for you.
I want to stick with my morning routine that like I feel like is setting up my day for success. Mm-hmm. I want to make contribution more of like as far as like donating to places like Dicks by Delaney already has a built-in contribution system where I'm donating to women and stuff in need.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, and I want to make that part of like my personal stuff too. I have a lot of like little ones and I think they're all attainable, but they fall into those 4 categories.
Nice.
That's good.
Yeah.
What do you have, Kels?
So my first one says I would like to have a kinder relationship with myself and be someone I can turn to for comfort instead of feeling really punished and beat up by.
Oh, I love that.
So yeah, which again, it's like, that's more than a year's worth of work, right?
Yeah.
Lifetime.
I have only been like an evil teacher to myself. Like whatever, you know, they say in artist's way, like Hall of Fame monsters.
Oh, you've been Miss Trunchbulling yourself.
I've been Miss Trunchbulling myself for a long ass time.
Like, yeah, you're really probably the meanest to yourself out of all of us three, right? Like,
yep. I would say that. Yeah. Which is like, that's so fucking crazy to me. Like, I don't want that title. And it's not like I want either of you to have that title either. But it's just like, that's such a bummer that that's like a noticeable thing about me is like, oh, she just suffers a lot. Mm. Like, she like puts herself through hell. Another one is I would like to continue making strong boundaries that protect me time, understanding that with every amount of work I do, an equal amount of rest is crucial.
That's so great. Mm-hmm. These are really good.
These are great.
Thanks. You're crushing these guys' resolutions.
Number 3, I would like to stick with morning pages, just some form of like meditative practice in the morning. And I would like to take walks most days.
Yeah.
Those are great.
Those are my resolutions.
Those are really good.
Thanks.
Oh man,
super good.
Yeah, deceptively short, but as you said, more than a year's worth.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, is like, those are not easy to just check off. Those are like big life-changing goals. If I could be a different person, basically. So
yeah,
trying a little bit.
Those are good. Those are really good. That's attainable. Yeah, for, I think it's like, if I think about it really simply, I want to spend time with friends and family. Mm-hmm. I want to make time for self-care. I want to make time to do my business and things that I enjoy, like painting and stuff and all that. Mm-hmm. And just, yeah, want to make sure that I'm kind of like, set up for my future. Like I want to pay off my debt and start investing and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Those are kind of my, I guess, more specific stuff.
Yeah.
What are some
yours, now let me pare mine down, I guess.
Yeah, what are your list of 100 goals for your robot self?
I mean, there's so many, but my biggest ones are, I want to, I think I've done a good job eating healthy this year. I think more, like the year before, I think I got into a place where I was doing pretty well with it, but I got obsessive about it and it was unhealthy. Like that obsession you're talking about where you're just like, well, I'm going to be paleo forever. And I think this year I've been really good about, like, you know, I don't really do like processed sugar anymore. And like, I've been really, I cut out most, like I only do fish and eggs and I feel really good about that. Mm-hmm. I want to get back to exercising every day. Because I think, For the anxiety and depression stuff, like, I think that's just going to have to be my antidepressant. Like, it's just going to have to be something that, like, you got to do this every day or you're going to have withdrawal symptoms. Like, I have to treat it like taking a pill.
Yeah, same with adrenaline. Is like, if you can go run and, like, get that pent-up whatever out that way in a healthy way, I think you're less tempted to do, like, self-sabotaging things.
Right, yeah. So that's a big one. Exercise every day. Career-wise, I would like to record an hour this year. I'm not being specific about it as far as, like, it has to be a special. It has to be a Netflix special. It has to be produced by me. It has to be an album. I am very open to whatever, awesome. You know, is available to me. You know, a lot can happen in a year. We just talked about how much has happened for all of us in a year.
Yeah.
But by the end of the year, you know, depending on how I'm feeling, I'm either going to do an album or I'm going to do a special like you did. I mean, watching you produce your own special was so hugely inspiring, Delaney.
Oh,
like,
that's nice.
It's
Thank you.
So cool that you were just like, no, I want to do this and it's going to be exactly what I want and I'm just going to pay for it myself.
Yeah.
And it's very empowering to see somebody you respect do that. So I want to do that because I feel like this year a lot of things are going to change for me, and especially in 2020, I think a lot of things are going to change about my life, and I am getting past the subject matter that I'm talking about as far as like being in your 20s and, you know, whatever. And I want to like kind of honor that and get it out there while it's still relevant to me and then be done with it and move on. And if you releasing your album, like once, like watching two of my best friends release like personal, like lengthy projects of their work that they're so proud of, I'm like, oh, I don't have to wait for somebody to give me permission. Like, I could just go do it like you guys did. And they came out so great and were such high quality. And like,
thanks, boo.
It's so I am giving you guys a lot of credit for that.
Thanks, love.
Those are probably my two big ones. And then, just as far as like morning pages, I feel strongly about too. Like, and I also want to, I want to be less concerned about money this year because I think where my workaholism flares up the most is like, I need to always be saving money because if I'm not saving money or if I have like a deficit one month or I spent more than I made or I didn't make a lot of money, I get scared that like, it's all going to go away. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be homeless. Like I'm a failure. Like, and I want to be less stressed about that. I want to be more willing to invest in myself, whether that's time, because when I cancel things or I take time off or I turn down work, that's to me wasting money. It's to me spending money. So when I go, I'm going to stay home 2 weekends a month, I'm like, okay, well, this is how much money I'm spending to stay home.
So
I can't think like that
anymore. You gotta change your mindset when it comes to that.
Yeah,
for sure.
I want to get rid of that. And I want to focus on seeing, like spending as much time with the people I love as I can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah.
So those are mine.
That's great. That's another big change I made last year that's now continuing into this year, is like being willing to spend money and time to go like see my loved ones.
Yeah.
And not using that at all toward like comedy material or whatever, but like just knowing, hey, I'm going to go, like I'm going to be in Austin in 2 weeks for one of my best friend's 30th birthdays. And I'm so fucking excited. Like, I can't wait. I think it's gonna be so much fun. But like, that's me spending money and I'm not working that weekend. So it's like, I'm also losing money there. Like, yeah. I'm not making money and I'm spending it. But I know that the memories I'm gonna make that weekend are gonna be like so fucking invaluable. Like, you can't put a price tag on that shit. Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm like way more willing to do stuff like that now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of us, you guys.
Yeah. Did it. We're doing it.
You guys should post in the Facebook group what your guys' New Year's resolutions are.
Yeah.
Because we'd love to see, and we'd love to, like, I'm sure the other people in the group would want to know if there's like overlap and maybe you guys can help each other.
I'd love that. And also what you've, your wins from last year is a good one. Take a moment to reflect on what you have done and you know, what you want to do going forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just, for all of our listeners, I just hope that they find they're doing what they love, they're spending time with people they love, and they're taking care of themselves.
Yeah, gosh, that's all you can really do, huh?
Yeah.
It's a great recipe to be happy. Well, we love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. And on one of the iTunes, it said that we cracked 1,000 five stars. And then when I checked again just now, it said that we didn't. Oh, but I think we cracked 1,000 five-star ratings on iTunes.
Thanks, everybody.
And that is like, dude, that's really cool. As somebody who had a podcast for like 5 years before this one.
Yeah.
That was like this elusive thing that I would look at podcasts that had over 1,000 five-star ratings on iTunes. And I was like, whoa, like, look at them. That'd be so cool. They must have so many listeners. And that's just I don't know. It's just something that I've looked at for a long time, for years and years. Yeah, we did crack it. We did crack it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Ooh, what are we? What's my phone? It says 1.03 thousand.
And you guys are the best.
That's all you guys, you know, like that's you guys taking the time to do that. And we just want to let you know, it means so much to us. And if you haven't, again, it takes like no time at all. And it makes such a huge impact. It's how we keep moving up the iTunes charts. It's how people hear about us. So anyway, that's pretty exciting that we cracked 1,000.
That is really great.
Yeah.
Yeah. This podcast has completely changed our lives.
Oh yeah. And we have a lot of goals for this podcast that we're not getting into right now, but there's a lot in the works.
Yeah.
It's a lot cooking.
So much cooking.
All right. Well, we love you guys.
Love you. Thank you so much. And if you're listening, there will not be a video for this episode. If anybody listens or watches on YouTube, there'll be audio, but no video. Just a heads up.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, we love you guys so much. To continue to support Self Helpless Podcast, go to selfhelplesspodcast.com for anything and everything you could want. We have our links to Patreon, merch, our individual websites, our Facebook group, Amazon link, full episodes, also our contact for a P.O. box and email. And you can follow Self Helpless Podcast on Instagram, as well as us individually. I am at T-Tom Comedy or Taylor Tomlinson, depending on if you're on Instagram or Twitter, ttomcomedy.com.
And I'm at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, and kelseycook.com for tour dates.
And I'm at Delaney Fisher on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and at Dicks by Delaney for some good old-fashioned dick stuff on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest. Perfect. And you can also follow Self Helpless on Facebook.
Great. Yay. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Yay, we love you. Why won't